Your best weekend companion everywhere. This is Horst Jankowski's orchestra offering congratulations. Interesting at home or on the road. This is Brad Crandall. It's been another big day in sports with an exciting, eventful week ahead. All the latest scores and stories shortly. Frank Messer reporting. Monitor Music by the new Christie Minstrels.
You can't.
Sunday's sports desk now, Frank Messer. Thanks, Brad. United States Olympic athletes, as expected, got off to a good start as competition began in Mexico City today. Two Olympic records were broken. Ron Whitney of Boulder, Colorado, shattered the mark in the 400-meter hurdle trials with a clocking of 49 seconds flat. World shot put champ Randy Matson of Pampa, Texas, erased the mark in his specialty with a toss of 67 feet, 10 and a quarter inches as he led teammates George Woods and Dave Maggard into the finals. All three United States entries in the 100-meter dash, Charlie Green, Jimmy Hines, and Mel Pender, advanced to the second round. Green won his heat in 10 seconds flat to tie the listed world record, but it will not be recognized because he had a trailing win. Besides, he has a pending record of 9-9. The United States and Russia, 1-2 in basketball in Tokyo, both won today. The United States, paced by Spencer Haywood's 12 points, bombed Spain 81-46. It was our 67th straight victory in Olympic competition. Russia downed Poland 91-50. In volleyball, Japan's defending women's champions defeated the United States rather easily. And there was a major disappointment in rowing, where Harvard's eight, one of the medal favorites, failed to qualify in today's events. However, Harvard gets another chance in Tuesday's repechage or second chance heat. Upset is the only word to describe today's pro football results. In the National League, Atlanta ruined New York's unbeaten record by downing the Giants 24-21 despite three Fran Tarkenton touchdown passes. When Fran tried for a fourth with 1:16 left to play, Lee Kelland intercepted him, and the Falcons were able to run out the clock for the victory, their first after 11 straight losses. Charlie Durkee kicked a couple of fourth-period field goals to enable New Orleans to down Minnesota 20-17. A 27-yard field goal by Bruce Gossett with 55 seconds left to play, his third of the game, carried unbeaten Los Angeles to a 16-14 victory over Green Bay. It was the Packers' third loss of the season, and they played without quarterback Bart Starr, who injured his throwing arm in a pregame warm-up. Dallas took over undisputed possession of first place in the Capital Division by downing Philadelphia 34-13 to remain undefeated. St. Louis, with the aid of a couple of interference calls that set up second-period touchdowns, got by Cleveland 27-21. Sonny Jurgensen, playing despite a severe cold and fever, passed for two scores to pace Washington to a 16-13 triumph over winless Pittsburgh. Mel Farr powered Detroit to a 28-10 romp over Chicago. He gained a total of 210 yards and scored three times. Unbeaten Baltimore 42, San Francisco 14. Super sub Earl Morrill passed for two touchdowns. Then Johnny Unitas was brought in for the first time this season, and he clicked on a six-yard touchdown pass. In the American League, Denver 21, New York Jets 13. Joe Namath had a bad day. People stepped on his white shoes, knocked him down, and intercepted him five times. The second time that's happened to him this season. The first was when Buffalo upset the Jets. In any case, Namath's been intercepted 12 times this year, which he would have gladly swapped for the 72-yard TD pass the Broncos' Steve Tensi tossed to Eric Crabtree to open the second half. Houston 16, Boston nothing, the Patriots' first shutout in 33 games. Kansas City 13, Cincinnati 3. One of the two field goals by the Chiefs' Jan Stenerud sailed 53 yards, too short of the league record. San Diego 23, Oakland 14, snapping the Raiders' 14-game win streak, one short of the league mark. In Paris today, they staged the 47th annual Montmartre Slow Race. The winner, driving a motorized plow, was a gentleman named Monsieur Benny. He took 2 hours, 42 minutes, and 15 seconds to drive his plow 660 yards up a steep street. Monsieur Benny was the slowest of the 81 entries up the hill. The last one home wins. C'est la vie. And that's the late sports. This is Frank Messer for Monitor Sports.
That's my kind of race. And now a word about State Farm.
Hi, I'm Phil Foster. The other day I called my State Farm agent. Hey, Phil, he said, I sure hope you're satisfied with the low cost of your State Farm fire and casualty homeowners policy. Yeah, I said, it's perfect protection for my sprawling ranch house. Ranch house, he said. I thought your house had two stories. That, Ralph, is the reason I called you.
For your home, your car, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
You're where the weekend What's Happening sound is, so stay on the Monitor Beacon.
Hi, this is Charlie Brown. Are you looking for work? Well, meet your competition, high school graduates. They make up 7 out of 10 people applying for jobs. Now, just imagine you were an employer. Who would you hire? Someone who quit school or one of them? The moral? If you're in school, stay there. If you quit, go now to your state employment service or youth opportunity center. Find out how to get more training. You'll need it. Remember the competition you're up against.
you're all alone, just get on the phone and call on me.
This is Engelbert Humperdinck inviting you to listen to Charlie Brown right here on WNBC Radio. Charlie Brown? What a funny name.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
Monitor continuing, and it is now 17 minutes after the hour. Brad Crandall here. Here's an Olympic report. East German diver Ingrid Kramer-Golben, winner of 3 gold medals and 1 silver in the last 2 Olympics, said today that she will concentrate only on the springboard event in Mexico City. That gives the United States a big edge in the 10-meter platform competition, in which Leslie Bush of Princeton, New Jersey, is the defending champion. You know, Olympic sprinters often reach a speed of over 20 miles an hour, and that can sure dry out lips in a hurry. No wonder Chapstick Lip Balm was selected for use by members of the U.S. Olympic team. It moisturizes and protects their lips from sun and wind. Chapstick smooths and helps heal lips that are already chapped, too. Of course, most of us couldn't run around the block at 20 miles an hour, but if Chapstick works for an Olympic sprinter, it ought to work for you. Chapstick Lip Balm. Don't take your lips anywhere without it. Here's Al Martino to sing his latest, Wake Up to Me Gentle.
Wake up to me gentle, sunrise in your hair. Just leave me there, and I'll never care. Fade away now slowly from my silence there into the morning air, and I'll never care. Only when I'm walking, breathing, thinking, and all of the time, you're leaving tears from me, the only thing that was mine. Wake up to me, gentle, and don't say goodbye.
On behalf of the American Cancer Society, about 42 million American women have guarded their lives against cancer of the uterus by having the Pap test as part of their yearly health checkup. It's simple, quick, and painless. Ask your doctor about your Pap test, and ask your American Cancer Society for more information. And thank you. Ring around the world, a close-up of people and events both at home and abroad. In Vietnam, coup or no coup? For that story, here's Liz Trotta, NBC News, Saigon.
At first glance, the political events of the last week in South Vietnam have all the makings of a Chinese puzzle. Practically speaking, President Win Dan Chiu may have carried off one of the shrewdest political squeeze plays of his career. Last Wednesday, reporters in Saigon learned the armed forces of South Vietnam had been placed on a special military alert because of an attempted coup d'etat. Just exactly what the coup entailed or who was supposed to be behind it were unanswered questions. When presented with these rumors, the government's Minister of Information, Thon Thap Thien, said indeed there was an attempted coup, but that it had been thwarted in the making. The Minister of Information statement seems supported by the fact that several officials known to be backers of Vice President Win Khao Ki were being detained quietly by the government. Some are accused of corruption, just as Ki has been accused of trying to wrest political power from President Ku. Scarcely 24 hours after Minister Thien's statement, President Ku himself went on radio and television to say there never had been a coup attempt. And he added, the communist lackeys and irresponsible elements spread these rumors to sabotage the nation. One can only conclude that the president's information minister fits this description. For the finale, President Ku blamed the whole matter on the press because they are, his words, too commercial-minded. But nowhere in his remarks did the president explain why the armed forces were and still are on a special alert. It would seem the Saigon government is protecting its flanks by simply saying the enemy is not within. Liz Trotta, NBC News, Saigon.
Monitors ring around the world, another in a weekend series of close-ups of people and events, both at home and abroad. Now, this word from Chesterfield.
Filter and menthol.
Pleasure is a Chesterfield.
Taste them. They satisfy.
Orchestra, Hang 'em High. Monitor spanning the continent on NBC Radio in Muskegon, Michigan. Folks, hear us on WTRU. This is Brad Crandall.
The following is a political program sponsored by the Nixon Agnew Campaign Committee. Richard Nixon is participating in a series of spontaneous and unrehearsed question and answer programs all around the country. The following is an excerpt from a recent meeting Mr. Nixon had with a group of Ohio citizens.
Mr. Nixon, what lessons do you think we have learned from the Vietnam War?
First, the lesson of Vietnam primarily is that the United States of America must not in the future assume the responsibility, because of our power and our strength, of furnishing not only most of the money and most of the arms, but virtually all of the men to help another nation when it is threatened by aggression. Let other nations bear a greater share of that load rather than having American men doing the fighting and dying in Korea and Vietnam. Now, the second lesson is a more technical one. It has to do with this kind of war. You see, the Vietnam War, it is not like Korea. It isn't like any war we've ever fought before. It's a guerrilla war. It isn't a war where conventional arms determine it. It isn't a war for territory. It's a war for people to win their allegiance. Now, the difficulty with the United States and its programs in the handling of the Vietnam War is that we have relied too much on a military power to end the war, rather than recognizing that only if we're able to go into South Vietnam And win the people to our side and deny to that gorilla that friendly territory or the friendly waters in which to swim. Only that way are you going to be able to bring the war to a successful conclusion. And then finally, I think that we must recognize as we look at the Vietnam War that our diplomacy has failed in one respect. When we look at the causes of the war and the causes of its continuing, we must realize that were it not for the support that the Soviet Union is presently providing to North Vietnam, 75% to 80% of all the sophisticated logistical equipment come from the Soviet Union, North Vietnam would not be able to continue that war on a basis that would require our presence. We have got to talk with our opposite numbers in the Soviet Union and make it quite clear to them that whether it's North Vietnam or whether it's in the Mideast, that we have a stake in peace and that they have a stake in peace. Because once they stop that kind of support, then we will be able to not become involved in such wars. Mr. Denny.
Mr. Nixon, I'm wondering what your thinking is on how the so-called nonviolent demonstrations should be handled, such as groups taking over administration buildings and colleges and that sort of thing like we had at OSU recently.
I believe in the right of protest. I believe in the right of dissent. That's why this country has gotten as big and as strong as it has, because we've had peaceful change through the years, but underline the word peaceful. This country, born in revolution, was fortunate enough to have as its founding fathers men who set up a system of government which provides a peaceful mean to change those things that we don't like about this country. And I say that any system of government that provides a peaceful way to change what we don't like, there is no cause that justifies breaking the law or resorting to violence. That's what we ought to do.
You've been listening to Richard Nixon in an excerpt from a recent question and answer program. If you believe Richard Nixon should be our next president, please help by contributing to his campaign. Send your contribution to Nixon, Box 2200, Washington, D.C. We need your help. We need it now. Send your contribution to Nixon, Box 2200, Washington, D.C. This time, give like your whole world depended on it. The preceding pre-recorded political program was sponsored by the Nixon Agnew Campaign Committee.
Second Sunday, the choosing of a president, tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Don't move, just leave your dial on the hook, here's monitor. Lean back and stay a while, now the hook, here's monitor.
Where the listening is always more interesting. This is Brad Crandall. Bob Considine takes a look at this lively past week and the news it produced right after Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66 finish The Fool on the Hill.
Grin is keeping perfectly still, but nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool, and he never gives an answer. But the fool down the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the
With Bob Considine, brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
This past week was made of the stuff of dreams, reporter's dream. When did we last have a hot three-way presidential race, a storybook World Series, and three astronauts blazing through outer space, all happening in the same short period? I'll be back with some of the highlights of that week after this. What does it mean to your whole family to have health insurance that pays? Here's the answer from Mutual of Omaha.
The family breadwinner. His wife at home. His children at school and play. Can all depend on Mutual of Omaha major medical protection to help pay the big bills brought on by sickness or accident. Mutual of Omaha major medical protection can pay up to $10,000 in benefits for each one in your family for each sickness or accident. It can help pay for hospital, doctors, and surgeons' bills, drugs, nursing and medical services, in and out of the hospital. Modern medical care can be costly, and costs keep rising. So, if you're the breadwinner, and have a family at home, see your local Mutual of Omaha man for major medical protection. Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
This is a random harvest of impressions garnered during a crowded week of hot news. I spent the week on the road with Dick Nixon. It was, as are all presidential campaigns, a runaway merry-go-round. Speeches, crowds, yells, growls, race to the airport, pile into a jet, wonder if the bags got on, take off, and 600 miles an hour to the next town for speeches, crowds, yells, growls, race to the airport, and so forth. For all that, the Nixon people run an operation that sticks together remarkably well, considering its size and the logistics involved. His three-plane jet fleet, chartered Boeing 727s, rechristened the Tricia, the Julie, and the David, hit every town on schedule. The cars and buses were always waiting, as were hotel rooms. The speeches started and ended on time, an almost unheard-of phenomenon. On the press planes, the pretty stewardesses did everything but chew our food for us. Pat Nixon, remarkably durable for one who looked so fragile, gave the appearance at each rally of being there for the very first time. Charles McWhorter, one of Nixon's top men, was the hero of the plane trip from Moline, Illinois to Akron, Ohio. Charlie had a tiny television set with him, and on it we watched the seventh and final game of the incredible World Series. Could any Hollywood scenarist have dreamed up a plot like that one? I doubt it. It's still as hard for me to believe as it must be for, well, let's say Bob Gibson. And how about that blast-off of Apollo 7? The awesome fury of the ignition, the agonizingly slow but indescribably graceful ascension of the monster from its pad, and those startling long-range pictures of the separation of the first stage and the jettisoning of the escape tower. What marvels we live with, and yet so many of us accept them as if they were our just due. It was the week President Johnson had a kind word to say for a change about his vice president. The week Congress lost sleep over whether or not the presidential candidates must enter into a fishwives quarrel on national television. The week George Wallace found a way to keep General Curtin of May from getting further tangled up with his inquisitors. He ordered the general to go to Vietnam. This could very well turn out to be the best move we made to end the war there. You'd agree if you ever saw General of May glare. This is Bob Considine for Monitor, and now this final word from Mutual of Omaha. What does it mean to have health insurance that pays? Well, here's what Philip Dell of Niles, Ohio, told us.
First, it was an on-the-job accident. Then just 2 days before I was to go back to work, a sudden illness. But our monthly Mutual of Omaha check took care of every bit of our necessities.
Learn how it can pay you to have health insurance that pays. Call your local Mutual of Omaha man. There's only one Mutual of Omaha. The company that pays.
On the Line with Bob Considine is brought to you each weekend by Mutual of Omaha and its life insurance affiliate, United of Omaha. In 1 minute, a progress report on the flight of Apollo 7. You're on the monitor beacon.
This is Victor Borger. I wish to invite you to join me and a company of my friends, among them stars of the Royal Danish Ballet and 50 members of the New York Philharmonic Orchestra and many others, on Sunday evening, October 20th, at Philharmonic Hall, Lincoln Center, when we will present a special evening in commemoration of the 25th anniversary of the rescue in Denmark for the benefit of Thanks to Scandinavia Scholarship Fund. Tickets are available at the box office and other Lincoln Center ticket agencies.
You may know a lot about your profession, sir, but let me tell you one thing. Don't come in here and tell me how to run this show.
Well, I don't try to, John, but every now and then you do need a little help. After all, you're...
Just one moment. If you don't like it on this show, you know the door. It works both ways. You can come in or you can go out, and I think at this point you should be going out. Sometimes the Long John Neville Show comes to you in livid color. This is Long John inviting you to join me midnights right here on WNBC Radio 66 New York.
WNBC Radio 66 New York.
This is NBC News, the flight of Apollo 7.
J. Barbary reporting from the NBC News Apollo Space Center. The Apollo 7 continues orbiting Earth, now over the Pacific Ocean, on its 10-day, 20-hour flight plan to demonstrate it's ready to haul astronauts to the moon. All is going well on board, with astronaut Don Eisley sleeping while command pilot Wally Schirra and astronaut Walt Cunningham mine the store. A short while ago, astronaut Alan Shepard, the first American into space, visited the Mission Control Center in Houston and put in this call to the Apollo 7.
You might be interested to know that the order is blanked Boston 16-0.
Very good. They must have received our picture by now.
Yeah, they're still on the running.
The picture astronaut Wally Schirra was referring to was one made of the Apollo 7 crew in a football stance in front of their launch pad at Cape Kennedy. The picture was made about 3 weeks ago, and in some of the newspapers, the caption read, "The Awesome Three," instead of the front four, usually associated with the game of football. Meanwhile, the Apollo spacecraft is now approaching Hawaii on its 36th trip around Earth. If the Apollo 7 stays in space, it's planned at 10 days and 20 hours, it will circle the Earth 163 times before landing on the Atlantic east of Cape Kennedy. Jay Barbary reporting from the NBC News Apollo Space Center.
Stay tuned to monitor for continuing coverage of the Apollo 7 flight with special reports every hour. Here comes energetic Engelbert Humperdinck and his latest winner, Les Bicyclettes de Bellside.
Turning and turning, the world goes on. We can't change it, my friend. Let us go riding now through the days together to the end, till the end. Carry aside.
Political convention is the best way for us to choose a president. Is the Electoral College system becoming outmoded? Should the selection of a president be left to the House of Representatives? These questions receive expert answers later tonight when NBC News presents another in its second Sunday series. Tonight's program is titled, The Choosing of a President. Here, second Sunday, The Choosing of a President, later tonight on NBC Radio. That's a brand new song from Fort Jackson and Jill titled Sad Little Pigeon. Monitor to keep your weekend moving pauses for only 6 seconds now while we switch to Los Angeles for our regular auto racing feature, World of Wheels with Keith Jackson.
Houseboat, you show me your little black rubber raincoat. Write you a letter on the thin line note. Maybe hide it in a tree where the houseboat floats. Pull the pulley bone to make a fat wish. Caught it in the skillet, gonna catch a catfish. Write you a letter on the thin line note. Maybe hide it on the table in the catfish dish. Cause it's sweet.
We seem to be running into a minor problem locating Keith Jackson on the West Coast, and we'll be making another attempt in just a few minutes.
Houseboat floating down the bayou. Try to catch a fish and I don't think I'll try you. Write you a letter on the... My eyelids are getting heavy. Dock a houseboat on the muddy eddy. Read all the letters on the thin line note. Take a water muck and meet them on the bayou. Cause it's sweet. Wait on me, it's my dream. It's so sweet. Wait on me, it's my dream. Meet me at my houseboat. I show them all your little black rubber raincoat. Lock in the letter on the thin line note. Paper hide it in the tree where the houseboat floats. Cause it's sweet. I dream. It's so sweet when it's my dream.
Apology, if I may. Due to some technical difficulties, we're unable to complete our switch to the West Coast for Keith Jackson and World of Wheels. We invite you instead to sort of point an ear at some listenable monitor music.
Larry
pages, Orchestra, with a little bit of Those Were the Days. On the road or at home, stay tuned and you'll stay informed. All national and world events covered by NBC Monitor News on the Hour coming up next. Brad Crandall here.
The more we hear, the more we learn. To keep well informed is a major concern. So listen for things that are happening on NBC.
This is Commissioner Vincent Altofany of the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles. Would you carry home a dozen eggs loose in the car? Of course not. You want them protected by packaging from sudden jolts and jars. On the other hand, do you see that your children have the same kind of protection? You do if you see that they always wear safety belts while riding. Fasten safety belts are the common sense precautions we owe our children.
When you play Fortune Phone, you can be a loser and love it. Because WNBC's Lucky Fortune Phone losers get a second chance to win. This is Big Wilson. Every weekday morning between 5 and 9, I announce the name of a Fortune Phone loser. If that lucky loser calls me within 5 minutes, he wins $50. Fortune Phone losers are winners when they listen to Big Wilson mornings on WNBC Radio 66.
Take our advice. Dr. Joyce Brothers. Weeknights, 7:45 to 9 on WNBC, Radio 66, New York.